Live forward. Live forward. We're going to read two scriptures out of the book of Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Very, very simple. Let's read these, pray, and then see what the Lord has to say. It says this: forget the former things. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the holy, infallible word of the Lord. I thank you that there's always hope, there's always opportunity, there's always something new that you're doing. This morning, I pray that you would extract out of the word blessings and hope and encouragement and direction into the hearts of your people. Let this word be customized to the specific needs, the specific burdens, the specific situations going on in the lives of the people here in service and also listening and watching on the airwaves. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name, and let everyone say a hearty amen, amen and amen. Well, I've titled this message, Jesus Walks. Jesus Walks. My boy Kanye West coined that phrase, Jesus Walks. In other words, Jesus is always on the move. Did you know that? That God is always moving. He's always doing something. He's always up to something. There's always something that's shifting, transitioning. God is a God who makes all things new. He's not a God who's interested in like a pond that grows stale, where there's no movement, there's no flow, there's nothing fresh. It grows stale, the water grows dull, it gets all kinds of bacteria in it. That's not what God's into. He's not into ponds that just sit there and do nothing. He's into rivers, he's into movement, he's into a flow of life. Amen? Come on, amen? God is into new things. So it's good for us to focus on this attribute of God, that he's new, he's fresh, he makes all things new. You see, because God doesn't want us to be a people that are stuck. Amen? He doesn't want us to be a people that are stuck, so he's always moving. He's always prompting us to think bigger, to dream bigger, to see new things, to consider what he's doing in our lives. This is a beautiful thing about God, you know, and it's not just, we see this reflected in so many things, don't we? Like time. Time doesn't stand still. Time keeps on slipping into the future, right? I got all kinds of musical analogies this morning. Time is moving forward. The way God created our experience here is a moving forward. We can't live in the past. We can only live now, and we can only see what's coming down in the future, can't we? This is how God has done this. We see this in styles. If you're still wearing the same clothes you did in the 90s, come on, somebody, looking like Vanilla Ice. You might want to get up with the times, right? Because things have moved on. You know, if you've got your Facebook picture and it's a picture back, you know, 10 years ago, you've aged. So come on, you've grown, you've changed. So give us a fresh picture of you, right? If you're doing some online dating, you better get a new picture. Come on, don't try to make it look like you're still what you were 15, 20, 30 years ago. Let us see who you are now. Be proud of who you are now. You're somebody in God, and God has moved forward, and your life has progressed forward, and you're in this stage of life now. And this is a stage of life that you can be proud about and live out to the max and live to the fullest. Amen? God doesn't want us to be like Uncle Rico, dreaming about how it used to be, where everything was so wonderful. Well, we see this all throughout the scripture. This idea of moving forward and transitioning and changing and doing new things. In fact, I would argue that when you follow God, You have no choice but to shift and move and change. Because Jesus is always walking, he's always moving, he's always progressing, there's always something he's doing. So when God came to Abram, before he became Abraham, he told him, you're about ready to change everything, Abraham. Get ready to shift, get ready to move, get ready to get out of what you've known, get away from the familiar and move into something new. God's plan for you, it's always moving into something new. God, because God is always doing something bigger and better. He's always shifting and moving forward. The children of Israel were caught up in 400 years of bondage and slavery. The only way to get out of the slavery, to get out of that, was to get away from the familiar, right? They had to get up. They had to follow Moses. They had to walk across this parted sea. They had to move out from where they were and to go into the unknown territories, the unknown wilderness, right? And they grew weary and they started grumbling and they started thinking back the way it used to be. Oh, you know, you just brought us out here to die, Moses. You just brought us out here to die in the wilderness. God didn't like that very much, did he? He didn't like that at all. In fact, they were longing for the days of Egypt. At least back in Egypt, we had food to eat. You know, it was familiar. It was comfortable. If you want to get out of your bondage, you want to get out of your slavery, God's going to have to move you to a place into the unknown, into the uncomfortable, into places and seasons that you've never seen before. Amen? Come on now. Let's get excited. The Bible says even Jesus always moved. We see this in John 12:26. I want you to really, really embrace this, really absorb this before we move forward in this message. And Jesus says this, if any of you wants to serve me, think about this. If any of you want to be about my business, if any of you want to be about the work of God, follow me, he said. Because when you follow me, you'll be where I am, ready to serve at a moment's notice. You see the implication. Follow me so that wherever I am, you'll be where I am. What is the word picture here? What is he teaching? He's teaching that if you're not following me, you're not going to be where I'm going. You're not going to be moving in the direction where I'm moving. So if you want to serve me, Jesus says, you got to move with me. Come on now. Come on, if I get up, if I go to Capernaum, if I go to Jerusalem, wherever I go, if you're serving me, you got to follow me so you're ready to serve at a moment's notice. Some of us, we put around our lives all these comforts and all these things and all these walls and all these things that we put around Jesus. Oh, God, I'll go so far with you, but I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to take that step. But Jesus says, if you want to follow me wherever I go. Amen? That way you're ready to serve at a moment's notice. God's unusual, God's unexpected for you might be in a moment's notice. You are at the right place at the right time. Come on now. Come on, if you're sitting there waiting to calculate everything out, God's not a God who's into over-calculating things. Amen. God does things unexpected. He shifts things. You know, Annie and I are moving. Finally, we're moving next month. Yeah, we got a closing date around the 20th. So now you're all on the hook to help us move. Amen. Be ready to move in a moment's notice. We're following Jesus. You all follow us and get the moving vans out. I kid, but you know, we had our mindset for sure. We believed Jesus was leading us to 10 trails. You know, the community right over here. Come to find out, he wasn't. I mean, we were so certain. And God had to shift us. He had to turn us. He had to change what we were thinking. Because sometimes what we think is God is not always exactly God, right? Come on now. You can be so sure that God has said to do this or do that, but God will actually order the steps of the righteous. Right? Man, we take steps, we try to plot and plan, but at the end of the day, if God wants to close a door, he closes, and he only opens a door that he'll open. And those are the doors we walk through. But you got to have eyes to see, ears to hear, ability to shift and change, an ability to adapt to what Jesus is doing. Come on, somebody. Jesus walks. So there's three things that I want you to glean from Isaiah 43, 18, and 19. Three things. Number one is forget the past. Number two is see the future. And number three is trust the plan. We'll start with forget the past. First part of the scripture, verse 18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. That's some good advice right there. Amen. That's some good Bible advice. Now, this does not mean that we forget the things that God has done for us. It's not that we forget the testimonies. It's not that we don't honor the past. We honor the past. Come on. We honor the past. We are aware of the things that God. In fact, even in the old scriptures and under the old system in the Hebrew Bible, you'll see that when God did something amazing, they would erect a monument unto the Lord. And they would name it. In other words, it was a symbol. It was a moment. It was something that they would make and construct this monument as a remembrance of what the Lord had done. But they would continue to go on. They would continue to move forward in their journey. So having these monuments of faith, these memories and these monuments of what God has done is a good thing. But there's a difference between having a healthy remembrance and a healthy appreciation of things that God has done and being stuck in what God did yesterday. Come on now. Come on, Jesus is a few miles down the road, and some of us are still stuck on what he did yesteryear. Sometimes God gives us a promise, and he speaks a word to us which was true for a season. But if we get stuck in what he said to us 5 years ago, which was true for that season, God will change what he wants to do in your life. I've seen people stuck on what God said, and because God said it, it must be forever. No, not everything God speaks to you is forever. Sometimes he speaks a word in season and for a season, and you have to be ready to hear what his next word of instruction will be. Come on now. Forget the former things. Three things we can forget. Number one, we can forget our regrets. If we're so stuck and focused on our regrets from 2018, we're not going to be able to move forward and effective in 2019. Come on now. If our mind is so occupied by what we didn't do, what we should have done, what we could have done, what we did wrong, whatever it is that we're regretting from last year, God wants us to just wipe our hands clean of that. Wake up tomorrow with a clean slate. Move forward into the future and forget those things that we regret from yesterday. Amen. Paul says it this way. Paul essentially says in Philippians 3:13, he says, it's not that I've arrived. It's not that I have it all together. I'm not saying that I know everything. I'm not saying that I've achieved the pinnacle of everything that God has called me to do. But what one thing I do, I forget what was behind, and I stretch towards what is ahead. Come on now. Jesus is ahead. Jesus' plans is moving forward, and he wants us to stretch and press into what he's doing in the future. That's why Vision Night is such a big deal. You want to be there. You want to learn about what we're doing. See how you're involved. See how your gifts and callings and the community that God is building here is moving forward. You know, when the children of Israel were in the desert, so long as there was a cloud of pillar of fire, well, there's a pillar of fire that moved. They had to move with it, didn't they? If the cloud moved, they had to move. If they didn't move, they'd get scorched in the sun. You see, when you're not moving with God, you get scorched in the desert sun. Come on now. But when you move with God, there's protection, there's covering, there's direction. God is always moving. Next thing we let go of is we let go of, believe it or not, our successes. Amen? You see, we can't be so focused on what we succeeded in the past that we're unable to move forward in the future. I was looking up online. I happened to run across this guy named Vanilla Ice. Anybody remember Vanilla Ice? Come on, you from the 90s. You wore the parachute pants with the Velcro. Vanilla Ice had a successful season. He was a one-hit wonder. And, you know, made some money, was popular. Everything the world says that you want, he got it. His life was like this flash of fame and fortune. Had everything he wanted. You know, I saw something. I read an article on him. I'm actually impressed with Vanilla Ice. Because he didn't let his life move just towards this existence of dwelling on what it used to be like. He actually moved on. He's got a business now. He's been running this business for years. He flips houses. He's working. Come on now. He's taking houses. He's flipping them, selling them. They built a reality show behind it. This show's been going on for like 8 years, 10 years now. This guy moved on. He's not trying to pretend like he's Vanilla Ice back in his early 20s. He moved on. He built houses. He worked. He's making a living. He's doing his job. He's making things happen. Come on now. He didn't get stuck like many of these young child stars and act. Their lives just fizzle out and they become just a wreck. I'm sure he's had bumps along the way, and I'm not trying to prop up Vanilla Ice in church, but I'm just saying, the guy did something. He moved forward to what God had for him. He found a passion. He embraced it, and he did it. And now he's a successful businessman. Good for him. Yeah, God doesn't want us so focused on how good it used to be and the success we used to have, that we're not able to see what he wants to bring us in our future. Amen? Third thing we let go of from the past is we let go of the methodologies. Come on now. At work, I'm always looking for new ways to innovate. Companies are always looking for new ways to innovate. Churches should always be looking for new ways to innovate. We can't get stuck on methodology. We can't get stuck on this is the way we've always done it. Come on, somebody. Maybe the way you always did it was good for that season, but it's not good for this new season. Maybe the way you used to do it, maybe there's better ways. There's new ways. There's a new way of thinking. There's new methodology, right? Sometimes it's just a subtle shift. God can take a situation with one subtle shift of methodology. How you approach things, how you think about things, will produce what he wants to produce in that for the future. You know, there's a company, you've probably all heard of it, called Plato. Well, Plato wasn't always the Plato that we know it today. When Plato began back in the 1930s, it was a company that was started to help Kroger create a solution to clean coal residue off of wallpaper walls. And so they created this dough, and it would go up on the walls and it would extract this coal residue. Well, then when natural gas came along, there was no more need for this product because the residue from the coal was no longer a situation, an issue. Well, one day somebody closely related to the family, when the family was on the verge of going out of business, going bankrupt, she took this product into her daycare. And all the kids started playing with this product, and they loved it. And so this lady, she said, well, why don't you just make this a toy? Let's turn this into a product for kids. And lo and behold, they decided to turn it into a product for kids. And they named it Play-Doh. And the rest is history. One of the most famous. Listen, the product wasn't any different. Same ingredients, same texture, same products, same people, same company. but a shift in approach, a shift in methodology, a shift in what they did to apply that product and provide a service. Come on, you don't sound too happy. Jesus says this in John 21:6. John 21:6. He was talking to these disciples after he'd risen from the dead, and he appears to them, and they're out fishing. They catch nothing. Come on, if your Plato's catching nothing, you might not need a new product. You might need a shift in methodology. It might not be that your talents are everything God wanted them to be. What God has put in you is everything God desired to put in you. But where and how you apply what he's put in you is what might shift this year. He said, cast the net on the right side of the boat. And the implication is they had cast it on the other side of the boat, right? It's not so much that they were necessarily doing something wrong. It's that they obeyed the instruction that Jesus gave them. And anytime you obey the instruction that Jesus gives you, even if it's a mind shift in your methodology, you will produce a catch of fish when you obey Jesus. Come on now. It was a simple shift of methodology, a simple shift of obedience, obeying and doing what God said. And they took their nets and cast it on the other side. And when they cast it, they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Come on now. Some of you, God has put a Play-Doh in you, but you're trying to apply that thing into the wrong direction. And when you apply that in the right direction, there's blessing, there's harvest, there's prosperity for you. A simple shift of methodology from the way you used to do things to a new way of doing things can unlock what God wants to do in your life. Well, the second thing, we move on and we forget the past. And we begin to see that we have a future. You see, when you forget the past, God has an alternative to that. Can we move to the next scripture? God has an alternative to that. And the alternative is to see what he's doing. Come on now. As long as you're looking in the past, you can't look to what he's doing now. As long as all of your energy and emotions and your thoughts are caught up in yesterday, you are preoccupied and cannot see what he's doing today. But God says this through this prophet. He says, see. Some of us, we have to see. See, I am doing a new thing. He says, now it springs up. I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you perceive it? Notice that interesting word, choice of words here. Do you perceive it? Are you able to perceive what God is doing? And that ability is essentially, is your mind open to what God is saying and what God is doing? Are you able to discern in your heart and through your spiritual eyes what God is shifting and doing in your life? You see, because now it springs up doesn't mean that you see the full manifestation of what God's doing. The perception, the ability to see by faith, the ability to discern in the spirit the things that God is doing is a spiritual skill that we as believers must have in order to walk forward and follow Jesus. It can't all be what you see in the natural. He says, can you perceive this new thing? Can your mind begin to see and think and identify the things that God is doing in your life? I love this scripture in Ephesians 3:20. This is Paul. He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Do you hear this? You have to be able to perceive what God is saying, what God is doing. Because what God is saying and what God is doing in your life is so much bigger and beyond, immeasurably greater than what you can think and what you can imagine. Come on now. And if you're stuck on only doing what you think and what you can perceive and imagine in your own natural resources, then you will not see what God wants to do in your life. Because what God wants to do in your life is bigger than you. It's bigger than your bank account. It's bigger than your skill set. It's bigger than any other natural circumstance. God will speak things that are grander and bigger than anything you can even ask, think, or imagine. So he says, are you willing to see me? Are you willing to dare to imagine what I'm talking to you about? Are you willing to be open to perceive the things that I want to do, the direction I want to take your life? Because what I can dream up is so much bigger than what you can dream up. Amen? The third thing is trust the plan. We forget the past, we see the future, and we trust God. Now, as it says here in the end part of verse 19, it says, I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Notice it says, I am. It doesn't say, you will make a way, and you will make streams in the wasteland. He says, I'm going to do this. I mean, it makes logical sense, does it not? That if God is speaking a future, if God is speaking a direction in your life that is bigger and more grand than you can think or imagine, then it must be something beyond your capability. And if it's something beyond your capability, he's going to have to step in and be the way maker, isn't he? He's going to have to be the one who opens the doors that you can't open. He's going to have to be the one who protects you from enemies that are coming against you. He's going to have to be the one who's making sure that this thing that he's leading you in comes to pass. And that's why the Bible says we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We walk by faith in an invisible God. He says, I am what? Making a way in the wilderness. Sometimes God leads us into a direction that doesn't look like it will be fruitful. And it doesn't look like there's a path. But he says, I'm the God who can make a way in the middle of a wilderness. Well, you don't know what to do next. Boom, here comes God making a way. When you're not sure which way to turn, boom, here comes God making a way. When you don't know what's going to happen because there's people and circumstances coming against you, boom, here comes God making a way. God is the way maker when you follow where he's leading you. He doesn't just make ways. He creates streams in dry lands, in wastelands, in parched lands, in the desert, when there's no resources. Come on now. When there's nothing to sustain you, and you've stepped out and he said, God, look at me now. I followed you. I tried to do my best. I'm trying to be a believer. I'm walking by faith, and here I am, and now everything's closing in on me. God is the God who makes a stream in the middle of a desert land. Come on, he caused water to come pouring out of a rock for the children of Israel. There's nothing too hard for God. If you are following where he's leading you, he's going to make a way. He's going to create a stream. He's going to be a provider. He's going to be a protector. He's going to be the one who overcomes those obstacles on your behalf. So we have to trust God along the way. Amen? If you want where God's leading you, you got to forget the past. Got to see where he's taking you, and you've got to trust him every step of the way. That's what this life is all about. I want to share a word with you concerning Jesus. This is so powerful. It's Luke 9:51. Kind of an obscure verse. It's not taught very much in church. And this is as Jesus was nearing his moments when he was going to go to the cross and be crucified. The Bible says when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. He set his posture. He positioned his outlook. He faced the direction of where God the Father was taking him. I want to submit to you and I want to encourage you that if your face is looking backwards and you're not facing forward towards your Jerusalem, towards your plan, towards your assignment, towards your mission in life, God can't lead you there. But we have to be like even Jesus, knowing the persecution that was ahead of him. In the middle of all the unknowns and the fears and the worries and the anxieties of what might happen or what's to come and moving out of our comfort zones, the Bible says Jesus faced his Jerusalem. And God is calling us to face our future, to face our tomorrow, to face the path that God is leading us on, to face forward, to face the plan of God. Rather than facing backwards or ducking or closing our eyes, you're facing forward, you're moving forward, you're positioning for forward, you're living forward, your freedom is forward, your breakthrough is forward, your release is forward, your anointing is forward, your next step is forward. Come on now. God wants you to be a forward thinker, forward mover, following God, able and ready to serve him at a moment's notice, on call, moving forward, always willing to face whatever challenge of faith he's putting before you, never shrinking back in fear, but always moving and trusting God, no matter what he was going to do. You know, the Bible says the children of Israel decided they were going to rebuild the temple that Solomon had built. And Solomon had built a grand temple. It was a beautiful temple, beyond the imagination. And here they are, they're getting ready to build this thing, and they begin to think among themselves, you know, we could never do what Moses, what Solomon did. What Solomon did was so grand. The Lord sends a prophet, Haggai, to him. And the prophet Haggai says, listen, the former glory will not match the future glory of this house. The glory of this present life, the glory of where God is taking you, is greater than the glory of your yesterday. Come on. The glory of your new way forward is greater than the glory of what you let go of in the past. Come on now. Come on. The ministry God's moving you in is greater than the ministry he took you out of. The marriage God moved you in is greater than the marriage he took you out of. The things that God is doing in your life is greater than the things he did yesterday. And God wants us to see this and to have this kind of faith and perspective. That the things he's doing in our right now and in our tomorrow are grander, they're better, they're more glorious than anything that happened yesterday. This is the thing God wants in our lives. If God is all up in your life and doing a work in your life, he's doing something greater than you've ever done before. Do you perceive what God is doing? You have eyes to see how the Lord is moving. I hope you're encouraged this morning. I'm trying real hard to encourage y'all. Final scripture I want to leave with you. A similar situation. You have Moses, this great prophet. Moses was the man that God used to lead the children out of bondage. Many a miracle happened under the leadership of Moses. The plagues were sent in. Pharaoh's heart. Here they are, the children of Israel are poised at the sea, and here comes Pharaoh's army ready to pounce on them, and God parts the Red Sea through the ministry of Moses. What an incredible miracle. Well, they get into the desert land, and they wander around for 40 years, and God is shifting the mantle of responsibility for the children of Israel to enter the promised land from Moses to a man named Joshua. Make no mistake about it, those are big shoes to fill. What are the people going to think about me? Are the people going to follow me? Our enemies seem greater than any of the enemies we faced in the past. There's so much more to do. God has so much further for his people to go. So God establishes Joshua, and Moses goes on to be with the Lord. And he said some words to encourage Joshua as he was beginning this way forward as the new leader of the children of Israel. And these words are words for us today. These words are words for you. God said, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life." You see, if you're going to be a person that charges forward into the territories God has taken you, into unknown places, into new challenges, into new beginnings, into new opportunities, you have to have a conviction that God is going to be with you. That no one will be able to stand against you. No one can thwart the will and the promises and the provision of God in your life. Make no mistake about it. God encouraged Joshua because he needed encouragement. Be of great courage. No one will be able to stand against you. And here comes the words that Joshua needed to hear, that you and I need to hear. He said, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." No matter what enemies you face, no matter where you go, no matter where I lead you, no matter what obstacles are in front of you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Ladies and gentlemen, what's one of the first miracles that happens under the leadership of Joshua? They have to cross the Jordan River. So Joshua steps out in faith. God performs a miracle, and he parts the Jordan River as a demonstration of faith that the same way that I was with Moses, I am with you, Joshua. Are you bold enough to take the Lord at his word? Are you bold enough to dare to believe that no matter where God sends you, no matter what he calls you to do, no matter what it looks like, you are going to believe in your heart, undeterred from the plan of God, that he has sent you, that you are doing his work, and that anything that he's called you to do, he will stand with you all the days of your life. These are some incredible promises that God has given us. It's not just for Moses, not just for Joshua. For anybody who's following God, who's pressing forward into the unknown, who would dare to dream and see what God is doing and walk in that direction, he'll never leave you or forsake you. No one shall stand against you all the days of your life. As he was with Moses, he'll be with you. He'll be with us. He'll be with this church. He'll be with your life. He'll be in your family. He'll be in your circumstances. He'll be in everything going on in your world. That's great encouragement. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for your word this morning. And I thank you that you're not a stale God. You're not an old God. You're not a dead God. You're a living, vibrant, active, moving God. Lord, even the universe itself is ever expanding. It never ends. It keeps moving. Even your creation is busting out into new territories as a representation of your character. Father, let us be a people that will be willing to forget the past, willing to see and perceive what you're doing today, and willing to trust you every step of the way. We thank you, Lord. We believe you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name.